Ambassador Spratlin, a couple of questions. Talk a little bit about the current status of sort of democratization and human rights in Uzbekistan. In particular, I'm always interested whether U.S. and other international-based NGOs are able to operate freely in the country, if you could address that issue.
Well, thank you for the question, Senator Kaine. Yes, the issue of human rights has been at the top of U.S. priorities with Uzbekistan for as long as we have had our diplomatic relations with them, over 20 years. And as you may know from having read some of the congressionally mandated reports, the Human Rights Report, the International Religious Freedom Report, and others, Uzbekistan, quite unfortunately, ranks very, very low in global terms when it comes to compliance with internationally respected human rights norms. As a result, this is a conversation that we consistently have as part of our bilateral relationship. I think one of the main differences is that Uzbekistan is a country that has a great deal of concern about the issue of terrorism, about the issue of dissent, and the central government uses considerable resources to constrain that dissent. What I would also say, however, is that Uzbekistan highly values its relationship with the United States. We know each other well, and I think those conversations that we do have with them quite regularly are built on mutual understanding and mutual respect. But what we would like to see is for the Uzbekistan government to recognize that it is in its own interest to meet those international commitments. With respect to the international human rights community, we are aware that there are a number of groups, such as Human Rights Watch and Freedom House and so on, that previously operated in Uzbekistan and have not been able to do so for a number of years. It is also true, however, that in recent years, I would say that the relationship with Uzbekistan has been improving, and that would include in terms of our conversations with them about human rights. And while we haven't seen necessarily actions on the part of the government that would signal a change in their policy, we have seen that they have been willing to release some prisoners when we, the United States, has made those requests. And we also know that a limited number of international human rights organizations are operating in Uzbekistan. For example, the National Democratic Institute is operating there, and they have a very a good professional. This individual just recently arrived, and so we'll have to see what will happen with the person's ability. The issue really to operate there, the concern is that the operating space for human rights for civil society is really quite narrow in Uzbekistan. And the only thing I can say, Senator, is that this is very much a high priority for me in my current position, and it will remain so. We have had some limited successes in Uzbekistan, and I think as we continue to press, not only at the embassy level but with our visitors, we will continue to make the case that it is in the interest of Uzbekistan to narrow the gap between its international commitments and what the realities that we see on the ground.
I'm aware of some reports that that anticipate a possible retirement of the president, President Karimov, and that there could be some kind of internal power struggle among political elites in that event that could be destabilizing. I mean, those are in country, you know, those are issues that will be decided there. But what is your current sort of outlook on the political stability of leadership in Uzbekistan?
Well, I would say that political stability is really at the top of Uzbekistan's priorities. It has been led by Islam Karimov since the independence of Uzbekistan in 1991. I don't really want to get into speculating about right. what will happen in the future. I think that we just have to watch very carefully what happens. There are all kinds of scenarios that might occur, but I think the most important thing is for us to deal with the reality that we have in Uzbekistan right at the moment. I think from the point of view of President Karimov, he's very proud of the fact that the country has been very, very stable. I think there are a lot of things that could be different in Uzbekistan, and we've, as I said, been able to have those conversations with them, but I prefer not to speculate about what might happen in the future about the leadership.
I want to ask you some questions about the current energy outlook in Uzbekistan. Can they produce additional gas for export? Is there any ability for them to use those resources to enter the European market? would Russia try to block them from doing that? Talk a little bit about energy resources and their potential in Uzbekistan.
Certainly. Thank you for the question. Senator, during the Soviet period, Uzbekistan was really at the center of the energy situation for the countries in the region. It was really the hub. After the breakup of the former Soviet Union and with the independence of all of the states, what turned out to be true is that countries like Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan ended up being the places that had enormous reserves for oil and gas. Uzbekistan does not have those kinds of resources, the kinds of resources that Azerbaijan, that Kazakhstan, and Turkmenistan have. However, they do strategically use the oil and gas revenues that they do have. Of course, it's very important to them to use those resources for domestic consumption. They also sell to China. In the past, Russia has been an important customer of theirs, but of course the economic situation in Russia right at the moment has caused some changes in that. But I would say that, yes, energy is important for Uzbekistan, but they are not going to be playing the kind of major role in the global energy market and for Europe that some of the other countries in the region have played.
How would you characterize the current relationships between Uzbekistan and Russia on one hand and Uzbekistan and China on the other?
Well, I would say the most important thing about Uzbekistan as a state is that it highly values its sovereignty and its independence. And it does not want to be put in a position of being forced to choose its
mm-hmm.
partners.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I think it has been very shrewd and very careful in developing relations with a variety of major partners. Obviously, as a former Soviet state, the relationship with Russia is an important one. But I think Uzbekistan has signaled in a number of ways that it intends to safeguard its sovereignty. It was previously a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. It pulled out of that. It suspended its membership a couple of years ago. I think that was a kind of signal of their independence. And they have had a very robust relationship with China that has been developing at a very measured but important pace since 1991. In 2012, they raised the level of their relationship with China to a strategic partnership, and there have been exchanges of visits between presidents that have been marked by signing various documents, and the relationship continues to grow strongly economically. There are some 500 companies, Chinese companies, operating in Uzbekistan, and there's significant economic activity on the part of China. So what I would say is that Uzbekistan is using its relationships with major partners to ensure that it maintains its sovereignty and its independence, that it is not forced to choose partners, but at the same time that it sustains relationships that are meaningful and important to them. With respect to Russia, I would just note that there are a considerable number of Uzbekistan citizens who work in the Russian Federation, and that the remittances that they send back home are extremely important mm-hmm. to Uzbekistan's GDP. So I would say that these relationships, both with Russia and with China and with other important partners, continue to develop and grow, but all with the idea that Uzbekistan is at the center of it, wanting to safeguard its sovereignty and mm-hmm. its independence.
One last question, and it deals with equitable water sharing in Central Asia. I understand that Uzbekistan has some concerns about hydroelectric dams being built in neighboring countries, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan. What is the role that appropriate role that we can play to encourage equitable water sharing in these Central Asian nations?
Well, Senator, yes, you have touched on one of the most sensitive questions in the region right at the moment. Uzbekistan is a downstream country, and the countries such as the Kyrgyz Republic and Tajikistan hold significant hydropower resources. And in the case of Tajikistan, there's an interest in building a major dam project, which Uzbekistan has very strongly opposed. What I would say is that the United States, as a matter of policy, is interested in having – we believe that all of the countries of Central Asia would prosper more and would enjoy more stability and security if they cooperated together, and this is also true in the area of water resources. With respect to the specific issue of the Rogun Dam, our goal, and I think the role of the United States, is really to facilitate the dialogue and to ensure that the negotiations or the discussions that take place among countries are done happen on the basis of facts, happen on the basis of what is technologically true. But we know that these are also political questions for the country. for the individual countries. But the main role for the United States is to be a facilitator of dialogue, and if confirmed, of course, that's a role I will continue to play.
Ambassador Spratlin, thank you for those answers.